A reading from the book of the prophet Hosea, the 14th chapter. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Accept what is good, and we will pay with bulls the vows of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, and we will say no more, our God, to the work of our hands. In you, the orphan finds mercy. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall take root like the trees of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive, and his fragrance like Lebanon. They shall return and dwell beneath my shadow. They shall flourish like the grain. They shall blossom like the vine. Their fame shall be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like an evergreen cypress. From me comes your fruit. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from St. John's first letter to the church, the 4th chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. O Lord, have mercy on us. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. O Lord, have mercy on us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know, there's something to be said for seeing love in action. Think about that. A husband who says he loves his wife and never takes care of her, sacrifices for her, or shows her any affection is seen to be questionable whether he really does love her. Just ask his wife. Likewise, a mother who loves her children only to neglect them, to seek her own wants and wills over and above the needs of her children, does not show that she loves them. Love in the scriptures has a few different words in Greek which convey different facets or types of love. Now, sometimes this gets overemphasized or overplayed to the point that you maybe kind of stretch things a bit, but there's still some merit to seeing which word is used in a particular text and what this meaning conveys. Here in this 1 John 4 passage, the word agape is used numerous times. You may well know that this is what is often parsed as a sacrificial love. It's the love used in John 3:16. When God tells you the manner in which he loved the world in sending his only begotten Son. We just sang about that a few minutes ago. It's also the word in Ephesians 5 for the love between a husband and a wife and reflects the love and union between Christ and his bride, the church. In terms of God's love toward you, there is a danger when you go searching for this love rather than understanding God's love from his word. The temptation is real to search for God or his love apart from Christ. The default of your sinful nature is to try and see God's love by maybe how much effort you put into your faith toward God, be it works or other things you may concoct in your heart. These things don't see or find God's love. Rather, it finds only doubt, despair, and no real peace and consolation. Likewise, the fallen world would also then tempt you into thinking that you see God's love and how you can redefine what love is or not, so that perhaps you can live in sin or affirm other people in theirs. You must go to the scriptures for all things. And it's no different when it comes to love. God defines what love is, what love is not, and this is unchanging. The fallen world, which may mistake as also the devil at work with his eyes, would see that things like being nice and everyone pretending to get along is how you should strive and see proof of God's love. Now, those things are not what the Holy Scriptures teach you about your Lord and about his love toward you and how you are to know and love him. So God calls you as his people, and just as he did in Hosea's time. We heard a few minutes ago, whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them. But transgressors stumble in them. So as hearers of the word of God, listen to God. Follow his ways, for they are right. His people walk in his ways. But sinners stumble over what God says. They don't like it. And they despise the Lord for what he says, which really is despising God himself. So what then are the Lord's ways? Where is this wisdom of the Lord that he would impart to you and make you wise? Well, today you hear and see what God proclaims to you about the suffering of Christ. You see Christ's suffering as proof of God's love for you. The suffering and death of Christ shows and makes known to you that God loves you. He loves you so much, even to the point of his own death. He has sacrificed his only begotten Son to redeem you. The point is an important one, and one that perhaps has been overlooked at times for good reason. We see that there was a school of thought throughout the history of theology that wanted to see the death of Jesus as merely as an example. Now, there's different nuances to that. And while there is an example to be seen, this, not only the just part of it. Likewise, it's not just some theory of how you and God have been reconciled. It's not a mere theory of the atonement. It's the atonement which relates Jesus as the one who died in your place to make satisfaction for your sin, the propitiation for your sin, and satisfy God's wrath against you. And this atoning death also conquers sin, death, and the devil by what he has done. It's all wrapped up together, and you see the proof of God's love in all of this for you and what your Lord Jesus has done. So case in point, then, is everything comes to a head in 1 John 4:9-10 in our readings today. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So the death of Jesus manifest, reveals, makes known, shows you this love, this agape, sacrificial love of God among you, and this is Jesus as the propitiation for your sins. Now, N.T. Wright once said, the cross is the window to the very heart and character of the living and loving God. Now, N.T. Wright has some good things to say and interesting, but he has a lot of false teachings, especially as they relate to justification, and that's a whole other discussion. I'm not a fan of his, although his last name is great. I jokingly call him Uncle Tom. But taking that statement at face value, you consider the suffering of Christ as proof of God's love. You see the heart, you see the love of God, the very character of God in his death on the cross for you. And you see that this is all done for you. Now, Martin Luther, in his sermon concerning the meditation on the holy suffering of Christ, preached about God's love being manifest in the death of Christ for you. Listen again to these words of Luther that he preached so long ago, but yet still preached to us today. Luther preached, you can stir yourself up to do the following. First, you can stop looking at the suffering of Christ, for that has done its work of frightening you, but press on through to look at his kind heart, how it is full of love towards you, love which compels them to the difficult task of carrying your conscience and your sin. And that way your heart delights in him and the confidence of your faith is strengthened. Then climb further through Christ's heart to God's heart and see that Christ could not have shown love for you if God had not wanted to have you in eternal love, in his love towards you. Christ is obedient to him. There you will find the divine, good Father's heart, and as Christ says, you will thus be drawn through Christ to the Father. Then you will understand Christ's words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Knowing correctly means that we take hold of him, not in his power or wisdom, which are frightening, but in his goodness and love. There our faith and confidence can continue, and we are truly born anew in God. So, dear people of God, as you hear and meditate upon your Lord's suffering on this day, take to heart what your Lord has done and shows to you in the suffering of Jesus. Abide in him through his means of grace, for these are where you receive the benefits of your Savior's life and work, and you are connected to him who is the vine. Abiding in Jesus also will bear fruit in your life as well. As Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So knowing the love of God for you in Christ, then he produces in and through you the love for your neighbor. 1 John also, our reading today, went at length to show us that too, about loving God, then we in turn love our neighbor. That's who you are. You are God's people. You are the one he loves. Listen and delight in wisdom and walk in the upright path he teaches you. So living in faith toward God and in love toward your neighbor is your life in Christ as his beloved people. Rejoice in your Lord. Find peace and consolation in the suffering of Jesus as proof of God's love for you. Don't ever doubt that for one instant. Your Lord loves you. Christ has died for you, and you are baptized into his life, death, and resurrection. So cling to your Lord who loves and forgives. Love him, abide in him, and find joy as well in the fruit that it produces in your life as a Christian. Your Lord loves you. See Christ's suffering as proof of this and see it for you. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Amen.